Kia ora and welcome to Beyond Consultation, a podcast that will help you in your public or community sector work to increase your impact by doing more than just ticking the box of consultation. I'm Paul McGregor from Business Lab, and we're interested in the mindsets and methods of people who are making a bigger impact by working collaboratively with communities, industries, and other organizations. Ngā mihi mō te whakaroa. Kia ora, you are listening to another throwback episode where we are shining a light on some golden oldie episodes. I don't know if that's the right word. I mean, they're only 2 years old, but these are episodes that I think deserve to be heard by more people. Today, we are throwing it back to Matthew Crozier, whose LinkedIn bio simply has two sentences: former CEO and co-founder of a successful global bootstrapped business looking for the next adventure. That business that he's referring to is Bang the Table, which is a digital engagement platform, which is basically an online website combined with social media where your community can get involved in the conversations that your organization wants to have. My interview with Matthew was digital engagement 101, 102, 103, 301, all combined. We went through the basics of digital engagement, some of the common pitfalls, and then looked ahead to the future and what might be coming next. Of course, councils, government agencies are investing millions of dollars between them in these platforms, but some of the ways they are used is subpar at best. Well, the possibilities for digital engagement are massive, and in today's throwback, you're going to hear Matthew explaining how to get started with using an online engagement platform, and also how to involve communities who might not be that digitally savvy. So let's throw it back to Matthew Crozier.
You've got to work at it. It's not a silver bullet. It's not, you know, oh, we put it on a website, so job done. The clients that succeed the most, and most of them do in the end, you know, most of them stay around for, well, our average is 7.5 years. So once people are on, the evidence is they keep going. But a lot of people have to work at it, particularly in that first year or so, as you build up that database of people to come back. You know, you want to get that into the thousands because you want to be talking to a large cross-section of the community. And there's a few things you need to do. One is get the word out about it. You know, so often people put the website there and think that people are going to randomly find it. You know, you can use SEO and things like that. But the truth is, your community, find out what's there through your community. So you need to get the word out there. And the other thing is about talking to people what they're interested in. Often bureaucratic organizations retreat to safety and decide that they're going to start off their engagement life by talking about something really dull because it doesn't feel risky. It doesn't feel like they're going to get a backlash or anything. And actually, most successful clients go out there with the hot button issues in their community. And that's how you get the community really active. And look, often for people, they'll start with something a bit drier and then they do a hot button one and they realize, wow, you know, the community came in, they were passionate. It didn't actually hurt us as an organization. We asked for that feedback. And so when it came, it wasn't painful. It was, you know, it was respectful and useful. And then once people have done that once and they get it, they tend to get into the groove. And so a lot of what we do with people is trying to get them to make those issues very plain English, non-jargony, and the stuff that's meaningful to the community. I always give an example of a client that I won't name years and years and years ago when we kind of started this, probably about 12 or 13 years ago, who put up a cultural strategy. And in the cultural strategy was all sorts of interesting stuff. I'm making stuff up now, but the hours of the library, the street art, all sorts of things that the community as an individual issue will get really passionate and interested and talk about. But they plonked this document in the library on the site, and their questions they asked the community were, what are your comments on chapter one? What are your comments on chapter two, etc.? And of course, no one took any notice. You know, you've got to do a little bit of the work for the community. There were issues in that document that they could have pulled out and run some really, really involved and valuable consultations. And I would argue that any issue government deals with, if you dig hard enough, the reason government's dealing with it is of interest to the community. It's just that sometimes the packaging is a bit boring. And if you strip that back, you can nearly always find an issue that the community will talk to you about.
What about those communities who are not digitally savvy, or their first language is something other than English or whatever the main language of a place might be. What have you been noticing and learning about how to involve people in those communities through digital tools?
Yeah, gosh, there's a number of answers. We're definitely getting better on the language front. Even something really simple like sticking Google Translate on a site. 3 years ago, the translations were a joke. Now they're better and they're getting better still. Yeah. We've already done multi-language consultations and you can build multiple languages into our sites. But we're working on ways we can make that better and easier and more accessible for the community. So I'm very confident in the next year or so we'll be doing that much better. It still does rely on the government organization being able to take inputs in multiple languages. And that is always going to be a barrier and a challenge and an expense for our clients. So we're getting better at that one. But in terms of the inclusivity of a digital approach, I think we've long passed the point where there are large slabs of society not online. Most people are online in all age groups, and the people who would break it down by age group are kind of missing the point. The parents who were all over the early days of Facebook are now grandparents, and it's moving on up and people are online. And there's a lot we can do with accessibility rules to make online easier for anyone suffering, you know, anyone with disability or anyone who's just my age and can't see without glasses on. You can see I'm doing the vanity thing here and squinting at the screen instead of wearing my glasses. So, you know, there's a lot we do. And those accessibilities, those WCAG guidelines, they are really critical. And I think in the past, our industry has maybe been guilty of neglecting those. They always appear as a line in an RFP, but I rarely see active auditing. And, you know, I've always encouraged people to ask any provider for any sort of software to see their accessibility audits. And those should be no more than 3 to 6 months old. And they should always find problems, because that's the idea. You know, you find the issues, you fix the issues, you audit again, and you keep going. Right. I don't think that's taken seriously enough. I think it needs to be. And then there are those groups that are harder to reach. So we've recently introduced SMS technology into our software, which reaches a lot more people. And now that's not always about people not having access. Sometimes it's about people being busy or whatever. SMS gets our attention more quickly. Yeah. And so the integration of SMS, when we've done some work with Yankalilla in South Australia, where people have been texting in ideas, you know, to an ideas board and things like that. So we'll be building a lot more of that. And then the final answer is there are some people who just don't want to engage online, and you've got to go and find them. You know, this isn't a silver bullet. And people who don't go online because they're worried it doesn't reach the whole community are kind of letting the perfect be the enemy of getting better. Yeah. Because right now, mostly we're engaging just about nobody if we're not online. When we're online, we're engaging a lot more people, but not everybody. And there are some groups, you know, I talked earlier about that demographic analysis, our PRM, that allows you to work out who you're talking to and who you're not. Some of them, you've got to go out and get them. You know, I used to chair a housing authority in the Hunter region, and we ran online engagement. It didn't really work with the tenants, but, you know, pulling up a barbecue and doing some sausages outside the building, we'd be sure to get them out to talk to you. And so there are groups that you want to engage in all sorts of different ways. And sometimes you've got to identify, we haven't got enough of this particular group, and go and do some outreach and talk to them. Young people are always hard. We've had some wonderful innovation of people trying to get young people involved. And it normally, I mean, it's hard to knock everything into one kind of typical analogy, but normally it requires a bit of face-to-face to get things kicked off. Saw some wonderful work in Victoria where they got young people in a skate park to graffiti on a couch. I've no idea why a couch, the graffiti couch. And then they kind of gave them a card with a URL, and they went back and logged in and found their comment that had been transcribed, and then joined in and talked to each other. And, you know, so there's a lot that can be done by mixing up your methods, and you can get much more inclusive coverage of the community that way.
So there you have it, a little teaser of my conversation with Matthew Crozier back from episode 10. Do go check out the full episode and listen to all of that if this has sparked your interest. We go a lot deeper than we have in this little throwback to exploring some of the pitfalls of digital engagement and how you can avoid those, along with putting the crystal ball down and seeing if we can unpack where digital engagement is going next. This was 2 years ago, so actually it'll be interesting for you to listen and see if any of our predictions have come true. All right, that's all from me. Now, until next time, ngā mihi. thank you for listening to this episode of the Beyond Consultation podcast. What did you learn from the show? What should we have talked about? Who else should I interview? I would love to hear your feedback. And if you want to learn more about what you heard today, everything from the show is at www.businesslab.co.nz/podcast. If this episode has left you with a burning question, please feel free to submit a voice message through the link on our podcast page. We can then ask that question of a guest in a future episode. Or tag me in a post on LinkedIn or Facebook and I can point you in the right direction. If you want to know when we release new episodes, make it easier for yourself and subscribe on your podcast platform of choice. Again, thank you for listening. Ngā mihi mō te whakarongo.